next. All right, you're playing your song. Okay. Good.
Welcome to the first edition of Carney Sports with Carney. Apologize for the late delay. We were supposed to start at 8, but unfortunately, I'm not too familiar with the radio keys, so we're gonna get through this one together, shall we? All right. Our first topic of the evening, of course, is going to have to be Robert Morris football. Now, we had a TV show on Tuesday, and I'm going to call out a couple people here because, I was the only one going into the game that thought that they would actually perform well. A couple people thought they'd get blown out, but they won. They won 13-10, and I'm going to talk to you why it's a big deal. All right, the win is a huge deal. Dayton football, they haven't beaten them in 17 years. Are you kidding me? 17 years? Like, I'm only 19 years old. I was 2 years old. Two. The last time that Dayton football was lost to Robert Morris. That on its own is just absolutely amazing. The fact that it's been 17 years. And, we haven't seen a good team in about, say, six. I can't think of the last winning season off the top of my head. Last time Robert Morris' second winning season. But, since the Joe Walton era, the middle of the Joe Walton era, we haven't seen a winning team here at Robert Morris. And, honestly, this is something that, I dealt with throughout my high school. I was fortunate enough to be able to call two winning teams after they started off horrible for my high school in Plum. They went from, 25 consecutive losses, which is just unheard of in anything, to two playoff years and beating our rivals in the first year. Absolutely huge. So I've seen this before. I've seen teams come back, from nothing. I've seen teams transition from bad to good out of nowhere. And there's a lot that I like about this Robert Morris football team. There is. Their defense looks good. I mean, talking about Dayton, they only gave up 13 points to Dayton last year. And, obviously, their team wasn't good last year. Robert Morris' team was horrible last year. I believe they had 2 wins. Horrible. They only gave up 13 points last year at Dayton, so the defense wasn't that bad. Dayton hasn't been shut out since 1976. They were the only team last year. Dayton only scored under 20 points once, and that was against Robert Morris. So the defense, it's shown that it can compete. It's shown that it can win. It's shown that, theoretically, if you put decent enough offense around them, that they can contend. The offense is a different story. The offense has been, near the bottom of the NEC, near the bottom of all football, all of college football, not just the NEC, for the past like 3 years, ever since they started losing. They averaged under 100 games of total offense last year. Not under 100 for passing, not under 100 for rushing, under 100 for total offense, total. That's something that's not even done in video games. I mean, that's just ridiculously bad. That's just horrible. The offense looks better this year. They have one running back, TJ Neal, averaged 5.2 yards. Another running back, Cole Blake, averaged 4.3, I believe. It was 4.3. The offense looks better. We've got a new quarterback, transferred from San Diego State. And I use this term, and if you caught our TV show, the Sports Talk in the Burg on Tuesday, it'll be every other Tuesday. I'd be sure to check it out. I use this term, I call it the Tim Tebow effect. And, Tim Tebow, I'm not a Tim Tebow supporter by any means. Personally, I think, the guy is full of himself, but that's neither here or there. The Tim Tebow effect is simple. We don't need, somebody to be a star. We don't need that. We don't need somebody to average 300 yards a game. We don't need that. We just need someone to be good enough. We need somebody to do what is necessary to win, and that is just be good enough. Support the running backs. Let your defense and your running backs take care of it. The offensive line's improved enough that they can have that. They can have the Tim Tebow effect. He averaged 198 yards in the game, 14 for 29. One touchdown, one interception. by no means is that spectacular. And it's also, you know, it's not great. It's not good. It's not amazing. It doesn't wow me. It's not a wow factor. I'm not going to go out and buy a Jimmy Walker jersey. But it's good enough. It's what we need to win. You know, we don't need somebody to go out and get a touchdown every other play. We don't need that. If he can support the run game, if he can do his job and maybe throw a deep pass, we've had a 72-yard touchdown. I mean, if he can support the job, then it'll be fine. That's all you need. All you need is somebody to be good enough. And that is what I'm going to stress here when it comes to Robert Morris football. Like I said, you know, we haven't had a good team in years. We haven't had a good team since the mid-2000s. I mean, it's been a long, long time. You know, it's Robert Morris, you know, people forget. It's still, you know, we're entering our 24th season. Still a young team. Young program. They're a young program. They did a lot more winning early than a lot of other programs would. And now they're going through that rough patch. But it looks to be looking up. Like I said, I came from a high school, Plum High School. Give a shout out to the Mustangs. We had, you know, my freshman and sophomore year of high school were horrible. They were absolutely horrible. 25 consecutive losses. To this day, the longest losing streak in Whipple football. To this day, it still stands. And I highly doubt that's ever going to change. You know, and then, you know, I broadcasted that for them junior year, senior year, and, you know, I noticed some things started to change. They had a great defense, they had a good running game. Those are the keys to win in a lot of sports. And they had a quarterback that was good enough. And, you know, I'm just going to say it. I see a lot of this in Robert Morris football. I see a lot of it. And there's some similarities. You know, offensive coordinator, Mike Miller. He is from Plum. One of the running backs from that team, he's redshirted this year for Robert Morris, was the running back for that high school team. So a lot of similarities. You know, I mentioned the great run game. I mentioned that they have a decent quarterback. And it looks like, you know, it looks like the defense is better. We're approaching 8 minutes here in our first radio show. Welcome to Carney with Sports. If you're just tuning in, I'm your host, Logan Carney. Still talking Robert Morris sports for a little bit. I'll get a little preview on what the rest of the show is going to look like. We're going to have Pirate Talk coming up next. And then we're going to talk to the Steelers after that. And, you know, I'm usually going to involve hockey here, but there's not much going on for the Penguins. So next episode, we'll give an update. But we're going to talk a little bit more of a couple local things going on. I think you all know the big game on Saturday between, unfortunately, not this college, but our neighbors in Oakland and our neighbors in State College. So we're going to talk that too. But we're going to continue with Robert Morris football, the football team that I am most impressed with from the last week. You know, I grew up a big Pitt fan. I'm not going to deny that. You know, obviously, Robert Morris is my school of choice. Robert Morris, you know, I'm going to hold over Pitt. You know, that's because I go here. I grew up a Pitt fan. My mom went to Robert Morris. That's one of the reasons I chose here. I didn't grow up a Robert Morris football fan. I didn't know that the football team was as good as it was under Joe Walton until I got here. You know, this, when it comes to it, Robert Morris is impressive. They are. They got a tough opponent this week. Youngstown State, they lost in the FCS championship. And, you know, I don't know if any of you have seen the Pitt-Youngstown State game, but were they impressive? Were they impressive? And I know, you know, Pitt lost a lot. I know Youngstown State was going up against a team that lost, you know, their starting quarterback, lost their starting running back. They lost, you know, some of their best defensive player. They lost their best lineman. You know, I know that when you look at it, I know it. They went up against, you know, a Pitt team that had their hands tied behind their backs. And also didn't you only used 5% of their playbook, and their best defensive players were suspended or kicked off the team. So, but the thing is, Pitt's still an FBS team in a Power 5 conference. Still a good team. And Youngstown State was down 21-0 and sent the game into overtime. And now Pitt did use, I mentioned earlier, Pitt did use only 5% of their playbook, or so they say. So they say. Pitt also, you know, their players also admitted to, you know, not taking things as serious in the second half, which is a red flag for Pitt. That's a huge red flag for Pitt, but we're not talking Pitt. We're talking Robert Morris. Why I'm talking about this game is because they're facing, guess who's facing Youngstown State next? Robert Morris. Youngstown State's a great football team. They are. They adjusted so well in the second half. They knew what Pitt was calling, and it was different from, you know, Pitt did the same thing against Villanova last year. Villanova didn't adjust. Youngstown State adjusted so well. I mean, if you watch the game, if you saw the game, the amount of yards that the running backs got after from the first half to the second half was significantly less. They didn't have Max Brown, the quarterback for Pitt, looked horrible. Youngstown State has a great defense. Youngstown State has a great team, and they're going to give Robert Morris trouble. They are, and I wouldn't be surprised if Robert Morris gets blown out. I wouldn't, by any means. But let's not think any less of what this football team's going to be. All right, this is a Youngstown State team. Look, the chances are, I mean, it's at Youngstown State. Youngstown State, they lost in the FCS championship. They took a Power 5 team to overtime at Pitt, too. It was at Heinz Field. Well, Robert Morris football is probably going to get blown out. I'm not going to deny that. They are. But we shouldn't, you know, think of any less of them. We shouldn't just write off the season because they got blown out by the second best team in FCS, a team that could beat half the teams in the FBS. We shouldn't write off Robert Morris. Robert Morris football they look good. Like I said, the running game looks great. The quarterback play is good enough. The offensive line is healthy. It's deeper. You know, last year they had a lot more injuries. Last year, the offense was just, you know, horrible. It was just painful to watch. It was like revisiting my first 2 years of high school when we had a horrible football team lose 25 games in a row. That's what it was like. You know? But this year, I think it's going to be more like my junior year. I think that Robert Morris is going to have a good year. I have them pegged at around 6-5, 5-6. You know, because there's only 11 games. Not 12 like FBS. There's only 11 games. So they're going to finish around 500. Hopefully. I mean, that's what we're thinking of. I mean, that's what I predict. I'm a little bit more positive here than a lot of other people. But when it comes to it, the football team, I mean, they're going to be in trouble this week. They are. And I really want to stress the importance of it not thinking any less of Robert Morris. I say give them to the NEC. Because they also got North Dakota State. I mean, that's a tough. I mean, that right there, that's a really, really tough game. You know, they just beat a very good team. They did. Dayton was 9-2 last year. Like I said, the only team that held them under 20 points was Robert Morris last year. And a 13-0 loss. So they beat a good team. But the problem is, you know, they got two of the best teams coming up. So if they get blown out, you know, two of the next 3 weeks, don't think any less of them. Football players, please do not think of any less yourselves, because the NEC games are the only ones that matter. And I'm not going to come out and say, oh, we're going to win the NEC this year. We're going to win the NEC. No, I'm not. If you can finish 6-5, I'll be happy. Everyone here at this campus will be happy. We will all, you know, give us hope for the future. And that's what this year is about. You know, Coach John Banaszak's in his fourth year. These are all of his players. These are all the players that he's developed. This is his team. When it comes to college football, you have 3 or 4 years in my book. You have 3 or 4 years. If you don't figure anything out in 3 or 4 years, you're gone. That's how it is. And I'm not calling for your head, Coach. I'm not. Because, like I said, I think you guys are going to be good this year. I want you to stay another year, because that means I was right. Because that means you guys were good. If you're here another year, that means we were good this year. So I'm not. Don't take it that way. I'm just saying, you know, it comes to a point where these are your players. They grew up, they were developed for your system. You know, you haven't inherited any of these guys. You can finally say that for once. You know, this is your year. Finish 6-5, 5-6, and I'll be happy. I'll be right, too. Be able to rub it in a couple people's faces, but, you know, that's not as important as, you know, enjoying a winning football season. Like I said, I've seen it happen before, and I think it can happen this year as well. So we're going to move on into, you know, my favorite sport. We want into a little Bucko talk. Man, has this been a frustrating year? Like, I could go on for hours and hours of this, but I'm only giving 15 minutes around for each team. You know, and I'm a fan of Neil Huntington. I am. I'll admit it. I'm a fan of Neil Huntington. I'm a fan of Clint Hurdle. I'm glad that they got extended. I wish it was only 2 years. I definitely didn't want it to be 4 years. I wish it was 2 years so we can see how well they would develop these guys. You know, but, I mean, the two, they were the ones that brought this team back. They were the ones that brought this team back from nothing. From nothing. 20 years losing seasons. Like, I mentioned before, you know, I had 25 games with bad high school. I watched losing football for high school. My first 2 years was losing football for high school. I grew up, you know, a fan of a mediocre college football team at Pitt. I'm going to a school that's just now discovering a good football team. That's just now getting a football team. And it is difficult to watch one season. I grew up with my whole life, up until about 5 years ago, losing baseball. Never once. You know, and you know, people say we should, you know, people be like, I was there, you know, whenever Bonds was on the team, whenever they lost to the Braves. You got to see winning baseball. You got to see it. I didn't get to see it for the first 13 years of my life. So of course I love Huntington. Of course I love Hurdle. They're the ones that brought that to me. They're the ones that brought it to this city. They're the ones that brought it back. Now, the team's bad this year. I'm not going to deny that. They're bad. It's just so frustrating to watch. There's just so many problems. And Huntington and Hurdle definitely deserve some of the blame. You know, Hurdle shouldn't be starting John Jaso in right field. That didn't make any sense. Don't know why Chris Stewart's still out there. I mean, I know he's a good coach. I know he's great at calling games. But if you're going to play your young players and you're going to, you know, act like getting rid of Juan Nicasio is a good reason to, you know, start putting in young relievers, then why don't you get rid of Chris Stewart and say it's a good reason so you can put in Diaz, who has much higher potential than any of those relievers. It doesn't make any sense. The moves that they made this year have just made no sense. All right, I'm not one of those people, you know, Nutting's obviously cheap. Nutting's obviously the problem. He is. But Huntington, you know, he has had some amazing off seasons. You look at that, and I'm going to go back to 2015. Especially, you know, from the span 2013 to 2015, it didn't seem like he lost the move. Even in 2011, 2012, you know, guys, AJ Burnett, amazing trade. That was before the 2012 season. You know, he also netted us some other players. You know, we go to 2015 deadline, J-Hap. And everyone's like, oh, they didn't go out and get the big star. They didn't go out and do this. Well, guess what? J-Hap was better than the big star, and he cost nothing. Those are the deals that they have made. From those 3 years, they were, you know, Huntington, you can make the argument, was the best GM in baseball. You can make the argument, definitely. With the talent that he's found, with how little, you know, with the arm it's tied behind his back. You know, he found something that, you know, players that nobody else would. But now he's made some scratching moves. And, you know, I was against, you know, and this is dating back to last season. You know, like I said, what I was going to talk about before, the 2015 offseason, we'll get into that. Let's see what he did. You got Gong, who, you know, for 2015 at least, was a great signing. Brought back AJ Burnett, great signing. You know, Liriano, still good, great player. They re-signed him. You know, the team was good. did a lot of good things. But now, what did they do this year? What did they do when Jungkook Kang couldn't come back? And I understand people be like, well, it's not their fault because you can't anticipate, you know, Jungkook Kang, you know, not being there. You can't anticipate Marte being suspended for steroids because, you know, those aren't injuries. Those aren't anything the team can control. You're right. That is. You know, they can't anticipate Jungkook Kang, you know, getting his third DUI, especially when they weren't even told that he had two prior ones. I don't know how you don't find that out, by the way. Like of all the things, like that came as a shock. I don't know how in the world you don't find out. If you're signing a guy, how do you not find out that he's had two prior DUIs? How do you not find that out? Like, do you do a background check? You know, maybe because it's Korea, maybe it's a little different, but it shouldn't be. It doesn't make any sense how you don't find that out. But anyway, you know, their third DUI caught him by surprise. And, you know, I'll give you a pass. Because, yeah, you wouldn't expect that to happen. Sorry, Marte, a guy who's no power numbers declined, one of your best outfielders, has passed every other test, gets suspended for a steroid that was used in the 90s. You can't expect that. Nobody last year would have said Starling Marte would be suspended for steroids. Nobody last year would have said that Jungkook Kang would have his third DUI. Nobody. If you did say that, then, well, you're lying, because you didn't. Nobody would have said that. So, yeah, you can't expect that stuff to happen. So the depth problem, I'm not too worried about it, because I'm not blaming them for that, because they weren't expecting that stuff to happen. But it's when it happened. What did you do? What did you do when it happened? And the answer to that is nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, you could have went out and got some. Melky Cabrera was gone for a couple minor league prospects that will probably never make the majors. And that was the most recent of the outfielders you could have dealt. Everyone likes to bring up Jay Bruce. Jay Bruce was someone that you could have got for, you know, I believe it was a single A, 30th round college draft pick reliever in single A with above 4 ERA. That is what the Indians gave up for Jay Bruce. And they took on the $4 million, which, you know, they always talked about when it happened. They always talked about, you know, we have money from Kang. We have money that we saved from the Marte suspension. We have money that we saved from Kang not coming back because we don't have to pay those guys. What did you do with it? Because you could have got Jay Bruce for it. You were two games out. You know, one of my good friends, Sam, who's on the Sports Talk and the Berg show, I'll give him a shout out here. He doesn't think the Pirates should have traded for Jay Bruce. He doesn't. You know, as he said, there's no reason in going for it when the Dodgers are there. This doesn't matter. You're two games out. You're two games out of the playoffs. You're two games out of the division. They were three games out on August 10th. You could have went for it. And we're not talking about going a Hail Mary. We're not talking about giving up one of your top 10 prospects. We're not talking about, you know, giving up $10 million payroll. We're not talking about that. We're talking about adding to a team that had clear holes. We're talking about, you know, adding guys so you didn't have to put out John Jaso. So you didn't have to put out Chris Stewart. So you didn't have to put out those guys. That's what we're talking about here. Once again, I'd like to thank you all for joining my first ever radio show here at Robert Morris. This is Sports with Carney, your host Logan Carney. We're currently in the middle of the Pirates rant, but we're going to be talking Steelers a little bit soon, and we're going to end with the college talk, and we're going to talk about our neighbors in Oakland and neighbors in State College, because this is my show, and that's what I want to talk about. But, you know, the thing is, you know, if we go back to the Pirates, you know, we saw the Steelers, and you know, people are always like, you know, the Steelers have a great championship culture and everything. You know, the Steelers have never made a major move in free agency up until this year. They've never been major players. They've never made major trades. They've just had an amazing job drafting and developing guys. And the Pirates have too. Not nearly as good as Steelers, don't get me wrong. Not nearly as good. You know? But they have had success drafting, not nearly as good developing. But this thing is, you know, football is different than baseball. You know, Steelers went out and got Joe Haden when they recognized that their window was closing because Ben's going to be retiring soon. By the way, I don't think the window is actually closing. I still think they'll be competitive after that, but that's not important. What's important is the Steelers made a move. Penguins added Phil Kessel. They made a move when they realized that, you know, perhaps maybe, you know, because they added that when they were still struggling. People don't like to remember that, but I believe they were the eighth seed that year in the playoffs. So they added that when they realized that, you know, maybe perhaps our window was closing. Pirates haven't done that. They let a 98-win team, you know, dissolve. They replaced A.J. Burnett with, it was a Vogelsong, Ryan Vogelsong. Somebody that wasn't good in his first stint with the Pirates and was only good in Japan. Japan. That's who they replaced him with. You know, the Steelers don't usually make those moves. When they recognized that the window was closing, they made a move. When the Penguins recognized their window was closing, they made a move. And guess what? Penguins won 2 Stanley Cups. Steelers are my Super Bowl pick this year. Made the AFC Championship game last year. Pirates, instead of recognizing that they had a window, they tried to extend it. And, you know, I can understand why you do that. I understand why you want to extend the window. You know, especially in baseball where, you know, people like say, like Sam says, you know, why do it when you have the Dodgers? Well, the Dodgers have always been great. The Nationals have had 100-win seasons. The Cardinals had 100-win seasons. Guess what? They don't make the World Series. The playoff for baseball, the playoffs, it's not the best teams. You don't have the Patriots constantly make it. You don't have the Pens constantly make it. It's more, you know, especially, you know, compared to the NBA, you know, it's always the top teams. That's not true for baseball. You know, the Royals make it. The Indians make it. You know, those teams are the ones that make it. The Mets make the World Series. The Giants make the World Series because they get hot. You know, those are not the top teams in the regular season. They were not. Giants and Royals were wild card teams. Royals weren't the top team they wanted. Mets were not the top team they wanted. In fact, when the Mets, you know, they played the Cubs in the NLCS that year, beat the Cubs. Cubs weren't the best team that year. So you can't, you know, it's different. It's different than those other sports. And it's a lot more difficult to plan for, you know, because the Steelers have to focus on getting past the Patriots. That's what the Steelers is. That's why they got Joe Haden. That's why they traded for J.J. Wilcox. That's why they did that, because they're worried about the Patriots. Pirates, you can't plan for one team. You can't do that in baseball. You got to get to the playoffs and hope you get lucky. So, you know, I understand why instead of, you know, going out and trading for someone big, you know, although I think if you recall, they did have the best offer on the table for David Price before, you know, the Rays decided that they didn't want prospects and they wanted major league players. So that's different. So they have made offers. Perhaps if they got David Price, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. So who knows? Maybe blame the Rays on the Pirates' faults. But when it comes down to it, you know, baseball is different. You can try and extend windows. You can try and go for it all. You know, both strategies work. The Royals went with the go-for-all strategy. It worked. Cubs have a young core. It worked. You know, you can make the argument for either strategy, you know, but you can't deny it. When it comes down to it, you can't argue against acquiring a guy that's hit 30 home runs for the cost of a single-A reliever, 30th-round draft pick from college with above 4 ERA. And that's all I'm going to say on that matter. Let's move into football. Now, as we get into football here, you know, they have the game on. I could see it from the studio. First game, this is what's going on. Chiefs and Patriots. And Steelers, I'm just going to come out and say it. Steelers are my Super Bowl pick. They are. Steelers are my Super Bowl pick this year. I'm not going to knock the Patriots. I'm not going to say anything like that. They're just, Steelers are definitely my Super Bowl pick this year. Steelers have, you know, in my opinion, you know, one of, if not the best offensive line in football, and that's the key to a football team, is the offensive line. That's where the football team starts. If you don't have a good offensive line, I mean, look what the Browns have done. They've had one good offensive lineman in the past, what, 20 years? They've had one good offensive lineman, and they've done nothing. They're the worst organization in all of sports. If you don't have offensive line in football, then you can't win. Steelers have one. Steelers have, you know, arguably the best. You make an argument it's Dallas, you make the argument it's Oakland, but you can definitely make the argument that it's Pittsburgh. And their defense is improving. I still have Ben Roethlisberger. I still have Bell. I still have Brown. Those guys haven't gone anywhere. They're not going to. People think, you know, and that's nothing. We're going to stray away from a little bit here, getting off topic. Bell's not going to go anywhere. Bell is not going to go anywhere. I can promise you that after this season is done. The Steelers aren't going to let him go. Can we please stop talking about it? Please. Because it is not going to happen. It is a non-story. If you really think they're not going to franchise tag him, then you're just wrong. You're just wrong. Because they will. He's not going to go anywhere. Now, back on topic. Steelers, their offense is arguably, you know, they have more playmakers than any other team in the NFL. You know, they have best running back, best wide receiver, top three quarterback. Elite offensive line. They got, you know, one of the fastest men in the NFL as the number two wide receiver coming back. They got, you know, what looks to be a very good rookie wide receiver in Juju Smith-Schuster, someone that I'm very excited for this year. The running back depth behind Bell is a little bit lacking with Terrell Williams. I believe that's who it is. That they just brought out of preseason, and James Conner, who, you know, James Conner, love the story, love the guy, love the player. He's still a rookie. And, yeah, they have a great offensive line, so, you know, they could have good years. They could. No, but we can't count on them. That's the point. You know, if Bell goes down, we can't count on them. At least not now. But, you know, their offense, if they get in a shootout with any team in the NFL, they will win. They will. And their defense, you know, I brought up this point on Tuesday. Defense is 12th. 12th in the NFL last year. Everyone wants to say, you know, their defense was bad, their defense was horrible. Defense was 12th. That's not elite. That's not the top. That's not one of the best defense in the league, obviously. That's why they were 12th and not number one. But the point is that's good enough. And they improved it. You can make the argument, you know, they lost Timmons. Lawrence Timmons, I think, is going to be a big loss for them. I like Vince Williams as number two behind Shazier. But if Shazier can't stay healthy, you know, Timmons played every single snap last year. Played every single snap the year before. He's a workhorse. He was the leader on the field. It could be a big loss. Right, but they added. Huge. And I'm not talking about Joe Hayden. I'm not talking about J.J. Wilcox. Those guys are great additions. Who am I talking about then? I'll tell you what, Cam Hayward. You know, it's easy to forget that he was hurt, you know, for pretty much the whole year last year. In fact, when he went down, the defense significantly improved. You know, everyone stepped up. Cam Hayward is, you know, he's still the captain of the team. That defensive line gets pressure. I mean, Artie Burns and Joe Hayden in a corner. Defense is going to be top 10 defense this year. They stay healthy. The defensive line was great last year. Javon Hargrave, Stephen Tuitt. Great defensive line. You know, they got great outside linebackers. They got great, great outside linebackers. You got a great linebacker core, right linebacker in the middle in Shazier, who has potential to be one of the best linebackers in the league if he can stay healthy. But Bud Dupree takes a step up this year. They announced that they're starting T.J. Watt. So, I mean, if he's half as good as his brother, I mean, that's a steal. I mean, the defense is going to be top 10 this year. And I think that's going to be the key to success. It was improving last year, I believe down the stretch in their 11-game win streak, which I credit almost entirely to the defense. Because, you know, you can blow out opponents, you can do all that. But as we saw in the Dallas game last year, you know, shootouts, you know, like I said earlier, you see those can win every shootout, but they're not going to. They can't. They're not going to. That's just reality. But my defense improved drastically. They finished 12th in the league. 12th. They can stay healthy. They can be a top 10 defense. They can. They're not going to be the best defense. They're not going to be better than Kansas City. They're not going to be better than Seattle. Not going to be better, you know, maybe New England. They're not going to be better than, you know, dare I say Denver. Not going to be better than that. Although Denver lost a lot. They could be better than Denver. But they can be top 10. They can definitely be top 10. If they're a top 10 defense, they might be. Steelers this year might be the most complete team in football. When you look at this roster, there's really not a hole. It's really not. Tight end isn't as, you know, I use the term, you know, maybe flashy as I would like. Vance Williams, nice addition, don't get me wrong. I am a decent fan. I think Jesse James is the only good thing to come out of, you know, Penn State in the past 20 years. And Vance Williams seems to be a nice addition. You know, so tight ends, they look fine. Tight end core is fine. It's not a strength by any means, but I don't think it's weak. It's decent. You would have liked somebody better. You know. But it's fine. I would like more running back depth. You know, I wish they re-signed D'Angelo. I'm sure all of you wish that as well. Still don't know how he's still a free agent. I mean, that's shocking to me that he still doesn't have a job. Anyone talks about, you know, how Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job. Why doesn't D'Angelo have a job? You know? You make the argument that he's more charitable than Kaepernick, and he's also much more valuable. He led the league in rushing last year before Bell was back. You know, D'Angelo should have a job. And I was shocked when the Steelers didn't bring him back. But yeah, like I said, you know, Bell's never played a full season. He hasn't. He's not going to get suspended. You know, thank the Lord he's not going to get suspended. Because, you know, if he would have, you know, done something, it would have happened in the offseason. Because he usually, it looks like he turns into football mode whenever the regular season starts, which is good. I mean, it's fine. You know, he's a great player. But, I mean, they need more depth. They do at that running back position. They lose him, it is going to be risky. I mean, you know, I love Connor. I think Connor's a good, very good back. I'm not trying to knock on Connor. I'm not. You know, but he's not going to be nearly as good as Bell. I mean, he's not very good at catching the ball. If they run him like they did D'Angelo, they play him like they did D'Angelo, he'll be fine, but he won't be D'Angelo. He's a good, like I said, he's a good back. He is. But that depth is just, it's not there. There's no depth at the running back position. There isn't. That is my biggest worry for the team. It's not the defense. It's not, you know, tight end position. It's not any of that. It's the running back position behind Bell. Approaching the 40-minute mark, We're right, still right in the middle of the Steelers talk. I got approval when I, you know, when I asked for the show that I could talk about, you know, other college sports. As long as we talk about Robert Morris, and of course I'm not going to talk about. Of course I'm going to talk about Robert Morris because, you know, that's where I go. That's my number one team. But in about 5 minutes, we're going to be talking Pitt Penn State. You know, biggest game around here. You know, this week in all sports. But back to the Steelers. So we get back into Steelers talk as, you know, nice shout out to some of my co-hosts as they walk past. But as we get back into Steelers talk, you know, like I said, the running back position is it's weak behind Bell. It is. They have the best running back in the league. They do. And, you know, the only other position that I could see such a significant drop-off is maybe the middle linebacker position. But I do like Vince Williams. I do. And I think that he's, you know, he could be a starter on, you know, at least half the teams in the league. And we have him as our backup behind Shazier. But losing Timmons does hurt. You know, just like losing D'Angelo hurt. Those are two big losses. Not many people talking about the D'Angelo loss, which is surprising. No, Connor's an amazing, you know, there's, I'm not trying to knock on James Connor. I'm not. You know, he's, you know, seeing the pictures of him is just one of the most inspiring things. I mean, what he did last year was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Because, you know, he came back, you know, he practiced in the hospital mask. It's unbelievable that he did that. He posted a 1,000-yard year after not being able to play football and having an ACL tear. I mean, he was, what he did last year was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. I mean, he's a hero. He is. He truly is. He's a hero. He is. You know, when he's a good back, he'll have a, I think he'll have a long career in the NFL. I don't know if he'd ever be a top guy. He'd definitely be a, if he went to some other teams, I think he could start, and I think he could put up decent numbers. You know, if it comes to it, the Steelers can win with him. They can. But he's not the game changer like Bell. You know, you can make the argument, you know, Brown is definitely the best wide receiver in the league. I'm not knocking there. But, you know, they still have game changers behind Brown. They still have some great wide receivers behind Brown. Bryant himself can change the game. You know, so if they lose Brown, I think they'll be fine. They lose Bell, oh boy. And then, you know, but what if they lose another one of the Bs? What if they lose Ben? What if they have to throw out Landry Jones for 5 or 6 weeks? 4 or 5 weeks. What if that happens? And I'm not someone that thinks, you know, I think Landry Jones is a decent backup. He's definitely worth the $2 million that he's making. Is he someone that can lead a team? No. No, he's not. He's not. If everyone else around him is healthy, will they be fine? Maybe. They could win with him. They can't go to the Super Bowl with him. Oh, no way. They can't win in the playoffs with him. Definitely not. They might be able to win the playoffs without Bell. Even if the running back depth, you know, is weak, they could probably win the playoffs without Bell. I mean, they did it 2 years ago. They did it with a worse running back than Connor. They almost beat Denver the year Denver won without Bell and Brown. They should have beat Denver. So it's not like they haven't done it. You know, but losing, the thing about the Steelers is they have strong depth at a lot of positions. They have a lot of depth at the offensive line. Our secondary, now because of the Wilcox trade and the Hayden signing, they have good depth there now too. They have good depth at the wide receiver position. But if they lose one of those two, if they lose Bell, Bell or Ben, you know, they're done. Maybe they can make a run without Bell. I don't think they can win. I don't think they can beat the Patriots without Bell. They're going to need all three of those guys to beat the Patriots. And they're going to need Pouncey. They're going to need to be healthy this year. That's basically what I'm saying. We're at the 45-minute mark. The one-hour show. I want to thank you all again for tuning in. Just got an update. Oh, the Cubs extended their lead over the Pirates. So there's a shock. What a shock there. It's really sad to see that team, what it's become. You know, they can be competitive next year. They can. They can't. I really, like, even if their pitching staff has struggled this year, I really like their young group of pitchers. I really do. That includes, you know, the five they have now. And Glasnow. I would like them to get maybe trade Nova. I think Nova's a decent pitcher, but I'd rather see them go with, you know, the five young guys next year. Bell looks to be a franchise cornerstone. Hopefully, Polanco can someday figure out. I mean, it's crazy. Scouts actually said that he was better than Barry Bonds. Can you believe that? And what has he done? You know, but that is all assuming that they don't trade Kutch, that they don't trade Josh Harrison, and that they don't trade Gerrit Cole. Which are big ifs. They're not going to get much for Cole. They're not. Cole is better by name, and they still got two years left. They're not going to trade Cole. Harrison, I think, is probably the most likely out of those three to go. Even more than McCutcheon. McCutcheon's value is, I think it's larger than it was last year. I don't think they want to upset the fan base as more than they already have this year. And he's had a good season, even if he's, you know, had an awful, awful past couple of months. But why are we talking about the Pirates right now? We have about 13 minutes left of the first show. Once again, thank you for joining in with Carney on Sports, your host Logan Carney. Now we're going to talk. We're gonna talk about the game coming up. We already talked about Robin Moore's Youngstown State. We already talked about the Steelers are gonna be playing the Browns. The match is gonna be a blowout, so we're really going to depth in that game. We're gonna talk about the big game around here. A game that even people at this campus that has nothing to do with it, we're talking about. Pitt Penn State. Now I've been to a lot of big sporting events in my life. Been to Penn's playoff. I've been to some great Steelers games. You know, I was at the one a couple years ago when they scored three touchdowns in about 3 minute span against the Texans. It was Thursday night football. It literally turned the whole season around. Been a lot of great Pirate games. Been a lot of great games. But there's three games that really stand out in my mind, the ones I've been to. One of them is the 2013 NL Wild Card game, where the Pirates beat the Reds, the Cueto game. Never going to forget that moment. Another one being a game I experienced in high school. I talked about in the beginning of the show, you know, my first 2 years of high school, we had no football team. Last 2 years, we had a great football team. And, you know, the one playoff game against Penn Hills, they beat their rival. That's one of my favorite games I've ever been to. Third one's Pitt Penn State last year. The largest sporting event in Pittsburgh history, which is why I think it's significant enough to talk about it. You know, well, it's crazy to think, you know, out of all the Steeler games that we've had, I mean, obviously, you know, the Pirates, Penguins aren't going to have nearly as much people because their stadiums are a lot smaller. Of all the great Steeler games that we have, of all the, you know, the AFC Championship games against the Ravens and the Jets, out of all of that, you know, the game that has the most is Pitt-Penn State. And yes, you know, part of the reason why is because they built all those seats in the back of the end zone, in the closed end zone, so they have more seats. But still, you know, and this thing here, and I'm not going to go out and, you know, guarantee a Pitt victory. I'm not going to do that. They're 20.5-point underdogs. It'd be crazy to do that. Do I think it'll be close? I definitely do. There's no doubt in my mind that it'll be a close game. There's no doubt in my mind that it won't be one worth watching. But the thing is, you know, there's just, you know, a lot of people that there's reasons of why rivals are there. You know, proximity, you know, how, you know, alike they are, you know. The thing about Penn State, Pitt, total opposite schools, and they're close. Penn State's in the nice suburbs, you know, all there's nothing that goes on there. Pitt's in the hard city. Pitt, Penn State's had some great games where they've both knocked each other off from winning national title. I mean, you can make the argument last year. I don't know why. Pitt, even though Penn State fans are in denial, Pitt definitely kept them out of the national title game last year. National championship playoffs, college football playoffs last year. Of which Robert Morris's president is a part of. So, there you go. You're welcome. Both of my favorite schools kept you out. But when it comes down to it, look, it's going to be a close game. And don't believe what, you know, Penn State's fan tell you. Because here's the thing. There's a reason we don't like you. There's a reason us Pitt fans don't like you. You know, there's just so much arrogance from them. I don't think maybe Boston, maybe Philly. No, Philly doesn't have arrogance. Philly's just, you know, they're just jerks. But there's just so much arrogance coming out of State College. And, you know, you would think, you know, the way they talk it up, you think they've won the national title for the past 10 years. Guess what? You haven't. Alabama has. You would think, you know, they remember all the scandals that have happened. You know, they act like, you know, we're living in the past and everything. We need to let it go. And then they build a statue of Joe Paul. And they have a ceremony for him. And we can't talk anything. But the thing that really sets me off when it comes to arrogance is we don't have a rival. The unrivaled promotion that they're doing. The fact that, you know, the Pitt game is just another opponent. It's not. No matter what you say, it's not. And you believe that. You know that it's not just another game, because there's no way that you guys didn't get annoyed with the 42-39s constantly happening. By the way, 42-39. You know, just throwing that out there, 42-39. There's no way you didn't get annoyed with that. There's no way that you don't want revenge. There's no way you don't want to win on your home team. I mean, you're having a whiteout. It was one of two games that you didn't sell single season tickets to early in the year. Two games, that and the Michigan game. But no, it's not important to us. It's just another game. It's just another game. I mean, it's just a level of arrogance. I don't think it's disrespect. I don't think they say that stuff to make us mad. I believe they actually believe it. You know? A lot of people like to use, you know, the term cult. You know, it's just arrogance. It's arrogance that they have. I mean, you can reach out to me. I don't really care. You guys have arrogance. And, you know, Penn State's not that much better academically than Pitt is. It's not. It's really not. You know, there are some places, the Wall Street Journal has Pitt 50 spots higher than Penn State. It all depends on who you ask. I know a lot of people that easily got into Penn State and had to fight for a spot at Pitt. My girlfriend's one of them. I'll give her a shout out on this. You know, so to act like, you know, it's significantly better, it's just false. It's just a lie. I believe you believe that. You know? And the old Seinfeld saying, it's not a lie if you believe it. Well, it's wrong. And the whole thing, it's going to be a 20 and a half, 20 and a half point favorites. You're playing in Happy Valley. Happy Valley is the toughest place to play in college football. It's not. It's not. They were 20 and a half point underdogs against Clemson last year. Clemson, who won the national title, Pitt was the only team to beat them. A little history lesson for you. And Clemson is a much tougher place to win at than Happy Valley. It is. It definitely is. I don't even think it's close. And yes, it's a different team. Don't get me wrong, different team. Max Brown definitely is not Peterman. Definitely not. They're not on the same level. But it's also after one game. Nobody, and it's people don't remember this, but nobody liked the offense at the Villanova last year. Nobody was happy about it. Nobody was happy. They put up 28 points against Villanova. Villanova is a much worse team than Youngstown State. The offense will be fine next week. And Penn State, I'm not saying you're not going to win. I'm not saying that. Because you can win. You're likely to win. That's why you're favorites. You're at home. I'm not going to say Pitt's going to come in and upset you. But if you think for a second it's not going to be a close game, it's going to be a close game. It is. I know as much as you would, you believe that it's not. You believe that the only team in existence, the only thing in the entire universe that matters is Happy Valley. It's the only thing that matters. We know you worship a Joe Paul. We know you do all that stuff. But look, I'm standby. It's going to be a close game. And if it's a blowout, if it is, then you know what? I deserve as much hate as you're going to give me. I deserve all the, you know, insults. I deserve the old, haha, you were wrong. I deserve that if it's a blowout. All right? Just as long as, you know, but keep in mind, same thing last year when we said 42-39. If we act like we don't care, you can't say anything. So last year, we'd be like, oh, Pitt's only game is against us. Well, guess what? If you win, you can't have bragging rights because you didn't let us have bragging rights. Because you acted like, you know, the only thing that mattered was beating you when you weren't even our most impressive win last year. Clemson was. So you weren't even our most impressive win. Getting close to the end of the show. I'm going to wrap things up. We've got about 2 minutes left. You know, I would like to say, you know, I can't wait for Saturday. I can't. I mean, it's going to be a great game. Carl Morris is going to be taking on Youngstown State. Hopefully that's close. What just happened? We just had a little bit of technical difficulties, it looks like. And it just freezed up. But anyway, I can't wait for Saturday. I can't. Ron Morris, Youngstown State, it's going to be a great game. That has more chance of being a blowout than Pitt-Penn State. Pitt-Penn State's going to be a better game. It will be. Both could be exciting games for me. Being a Pitt fan, it goes to Ron Morris. It's being both. And who knows? Both those teams come away with an upset. I may be one of the happiest guys in the universe. You know, the Steelers aren't going to lose. I'm taking the Browns. That's a guaranteed win. I'd like to thank you all again for joining me today on my first ever radio broadcast. Carney with Sports. Carney on Sports. I'd like to say, just to end it, look. I'm just going to recap everything here. Robert Morris football, I want you to hope for it. I want you to believe it. I want you to watch it. Because they're going to have a fun year. Pirates, we're praying for next year. Steelers, you're my Super Bowl pick. And I have to say, you know, Pitt, let's make Happy Valley go quiet. Thank you for joining me. Good night, everyone. Hope you have a wonderful night. Hope you have a wonderful night. Let's hope you have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for joining me today. Good night.